We're going to begin a story, but it's going to take a while to finish the story. I know that makes no sense, but I hope you're ready. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. So I had a friend ask me the other day if I was taking some type of sabbatical from the podcast. And the answer to that is both yes and no, because I did kind of take one, but it was not actually intentional. So my plans were this summer to crank a lot of stuff onto Caffeinated Christianity. But if you've listened to the Cornfield Chronicles, as you probably could have guessed, I was stupid busy. And so I thought, hey, when I get back to school for the first few weeks I'm at school doing football practice, maybe I'll get to do some more stuff. I was also wrong about that, because playing a college sport and also being a student taking 19 hours, having to do various other things such as preach occasionally, and I have a girlfriend, and I have to eat, obviously, and just whatever, haven't exactly had the time to do what I wanted to do, but I think I'm back on it now. I think we're back for what is effectively season 2 of Caffeinated Christianity. I took my little break for the month of August, tried to get my life together, never really happened. But hey man, we are officially here now. But I digress. Welcome to Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions are unqualified. My name is Cooper Short. Here at Caffeinated Christianity, the mission is pretty simple. This is a blog and podcast dedicated... Ooh, my voice just cracked right there. This is a blog and a podcast dedicated to practical Christianity from an evangelical worldview. And so today we're going to be beginning a series of podcasts on what I call the story of us. And I'll explain more of that in a second. First, obviously, our verse of the episode, Jeremiah 1:5. Shout out J.C. Younger. He loves this verse. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So basically, here's what we're doing. The Bible is one big story, okay? And it's actually our story. It's humanity's story. Though a lot of it is historical, the themes and the elements of the Bible are literally the story of everybody's life. And in my view, we can divide the story of the Bible and the story of humanity as the Bible tells it into six parts: creation, devastation, frustration, salvation, expectation, and consummation. Can you tell I've been preaching this summer? I'm with this whole like alliterative thing where all the words sound the same. Anyways, the story of humanity that we see progress through the Bible applies to all of us in our present reality, but it applies to all of us as individuals. It applies to us as believers, even as non-believers. And so what we're going to do for the next six episodes is we are going to walk through the elements of what I think is basically the story of the Bible and the story of us, and about how, well, you know what, I'm not going to spoil that and keep going further. So obviously today, on this first episode of the story of us, we're going to be talking about creation. This is something I've always been super interested in, both as a student of history and just somebody who loves nature. I'm a big outdoor guy. I really like to hike. I really like to camp. Even though I haven't camped a lot, every time I've camped, I've absolutely loved it. I like to fish. I like to play disc golf. I really just like being outside. I like doing things in nature. Something that my girlfriend and I have done a couple times now. She lives in the mountains of North Carolina. I do not. We like to go and do things on the Blue Ridge Parkway. That's something that's really cool that we do together. It's really awesome. Something we really enjoy. But really, what is creation? Kind of in short, man, creation is amazing. I mean, think of all the times you've been fascinated by nature, animals. I think babies are fascinating. Something that's been awesome having two younger siblings is watching them grow up, watching kids grow up, become toddlers, become, you know, kids, become teenagers, become younger. Like, that's just a really cool experience to watch them react to the world, learn new things, learn new words, learn new thought processes. It's a really amazing thing. I got just three facts I want to share with you that I found last night about just some things that happened in the animal and in the plant world that are just amazing. Tigers actually have striped skin, which I did not know, and every tiger has unique stripe pattern to it. There are no two tigers that are striped the same. Same thing goes with zebras. Something else I thought was kind of cool, and it made me think of my girlfriend, because this is something that she would see and say, oh, that's so cute, and it would make me vomit. Sea otters hold hands while they sleep so they don't drift apart, because they actually sleep like kind of on their back bobbing in the water, which I would think would get cold over time, but whatever. Also, here's another fact that I think is really interesting. Bamboo can grow up to 3 feet in one day. So we talk about kudzu taking over the world. What about bamboo taking over the world? I guess that's why we have so many pandas to eat it all, because it grows 3 feet in one day. That was a bad joke. Was that even supposed to be a joke? I'm not actually really entirely sure. But creation is amazing. And in my view, there are basically two facets of creation. There is obviously the natural world, which I would consider to be plants and animals. And then there's humanity, which is obviously me. But really, creation is made with one purpose. And that purpose for creation is to glorify God. And how do we know this? Well, we know this because, well, God tells us this. God tells us this in the book of Romans. Paul writes, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." We can also read just very quickly Psalm chapter 19, which is basically just a psalm of praise for really who God is and what he's created. David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard." We see in other psalms, just like Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." Psalm 102, verse 25, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Psalm 8, 3 through 4, and then 6 through 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You made them rulers over the works of your hands, you put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the sea," right? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. We know God created creation. That's kind of redundant, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Creation was made for one purpose, and that is to glorify God. And we know this to be true. But the second thing about creation that I really want to point out is that creation was designed perfectly and without blemish. When we look at the account given in Genesis chapter 1, you know, just through the days as God is creating the earth and as God is creating the heavens and the plants and the animals and the water, God says everything is good. You know, God called the dry land earth and the waters that were gathered together, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. On the third day, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit, which is their seed, and God saw that it was good. God made two great lights, greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. And God saw, once again, verse 18, that it was good. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the heavens. Every winged bird according to its kind." And once again, verse 21, God saw that it was good. That's the fifth day. On the sixth day, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." In verse 25 at the very end, God saw that it was good. Right? God created creation. Creation is intended to be perfect. When God created it, it was perfect because he is perfect and everything about him would be perfect. And then we even move on, even to the creation of man, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Well, who is our? Who is our image and our likeness? Well, I tend to agree with the going theory that God is referencing the Trinity. And when he talks about making man in our image, makes them in the image of Jesus, as in they look human, makes them in the image of the Holy Spirit, as in they are empowered by Christ, and makes them in the image of God in that they are wise and they are with agency over creation. This, to me, is precisely why we value life, precisely why I'm against abortion, which is obviously murder. But man and woman were created in God's image. We are created in God's image, and creation is intended to be perfect. in the first moments of existence for us and for the earth that we live on, everything was good, as God says, and everything that's good is God, and everything that's not good is not of God. Creation was intended to reflect who God is, to reflect His character, to glorify Him, just as we were created to glorify Him. But creation was, in its inception, perfect. And that is stage one of the story of us. That is stage one of everybody's story, of humanity's stories. You were, we were, I was, we were intended, we were created to be perfect. You know, in Psalm 51, David writes, you know, in iniquity did my mother conceive me, you know, and in sin, you know, was David born, is what he writes in that Psalm. And he's kind of implicitly making the same point I'm making, in that, you know, creation was not designed to be anything less than perfect. Creation was designed to be without blemish, to be perfect. That's precisely why when the Jews sacrifice the Passover lamb, it has to be without blemish. One of my favorite stories of the Old and New Testament that coincide is, we know from, I think, the book of Numbers, don't quote me on that, we know that the Passover lamb has to be, you cannot break the legs of the Passover lamb. It has to be perfect when you sacrifice it. And when Jesus is on the cross, it's about to be the Passover, and they have to get him off the cross really quickly so they can go home or whatever. And what they're going to do is they're going to break Jesus' legs in order to make him die quicker. When they go to break Jesus' legs, he's already dead. So Jesus dies without blemish. Jesus dies without broken legs, which is absolutely one of my favorite prophecies that gets fulfilled. But stage one, moment one, part one of the story of us is creation. And creation was designed to glorify God, and creation was intended to be perfect. And that is where I'm going to stop for now. My Jesus moment of, I say of the week, but something that's really kind of my Jesus moment just of the last, you know, since I've been on my hiatus away from caffeinated Christianity. This past Saturday, we played our first game. I play college football. This past Saturday, we played our first game. We didn't play real well. We kind of got smacked up. But something that was awesome, something that I really kind of made me emotional in the moment, and really still kind of makes me emotional thinking about it, is getting to see my new teammates. We've got, obviously, there's a lot of new freshmen on the team, but just getting to see my teammates, both old and new, play their first game. I remember watching one of my teammates kick off. He's a new freshman. He's the place kicker, and getting to watch him kick off, I mean, I really had to fight back tears on the sideline. You know, I know that sounds kind of weird or kind of like oddly emotional, but you know, we've worked really hard together. You know, we as a team, we've been doing a lot for the last few weeks. We got our first game canceled against an opponent we probably could have beaten. We had to replace that game with a team that was a lot better than the team we were going to play originally. And, you know, we've been through a lot together. There's a lot of guys on the team that have stuck it out through this really strange and tough process our program's going through right now. And so just, there was just something really emotional about kind of getting to my last first game Saturday and getting to watch my teammates play. I'm watching that opening kickoff just really kind of put me in my frame of mind of like, I'm exactly where God wants me to be for now. And just that feeling of spiritual affirmation is just something that really can just get your blood flowing. And so that's my Jesus moment of the week. Your CHH song of the episode is Topside by Jerry Manna featuring What Up RG. Jerry Manna had a new album come out, I think two weeks ago. It's really good. I'm a pretty big fan of it. That's a really good song. Obviously, when What Up RG is a feature artist, the song goes in. He's a fantastic feature artist. And I'll be honest with you, man, CHH is really pumping out some juice this year. I mean, we had Summer 19 over the summer, which was fantastic. You had Olympus by John Keith over the summer, which is one of the best albums I've ever heard. We've got 1K Few dropping What's Understood 2 in a couple weeks. We've got No Big Deal dropping a song this Friday and then a mixtape next week, which I'm a huge No Big Deal fan, so I'm really excited about that. The industry's really been growing, been getting a lot of exposure. NF beating out Chance the Rapper's The Big Day, a huge deal for the subgenre. So it's been pretty cool. Thanks for tuning in. Of course, our reimbursement for the brain cells. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Calf Christ. Here, Calf Christ is pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ, John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners, listen to Christian rap music, pull for your teammates, remember creation, and then always remember that the battle is already won. Outie.